T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
I heard you missed us. We're back. Yeah.
This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
We are ready as we'll ever be. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Overtime. I'm Debbie Monterey, and joining us in Studio B is Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show.
Good morning, everybody.
And Keith Alper, founder, CEO of Nitrous Effect and Creative Producers Group. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. It seems like Twitter just blew up yesterday because the Cardinals, they announced that they've completed a trade with Arizona Diamondbacks, acquiring 6-time National League All-Star first baseman Paul Goldschmidt in exchange for catcher Carson Kelly, right-handed pitcher Luke Weaver, minor league infielder Andy Young, and the Cardinals compensation round B selection in the 2019 MLB amateur draft. Charlie, did it rock your world? What do you think?
Well, everybody's excited about it. You know, I know about as much about baseball as I know about advanced neuroscience. Not that much. I rely on the experts. Tom Ackerman likes it. I like it.
Ditto.
All right. Well, we can move on then. Well, I guess the proof is in the pudding, right? We'll have to wait until spring.
A lot of great excitement, though, which is good.
Yes, absolutely. Well, former President George W. Bush delivered a touching eulogy to his father at Wednesday's funeral for the late George H.W. Bush. George W. calling his father the brightest of 1,000 points of light and said he taught us never to be defined by failure. He was actually quite funny telling great stories. And then at the end, I don't know if you guys watched it both, but at the end when he choked up, I think everybody was like, What'd you think, Keith?
I thought it was amazing. I thought the office of the president has been restored. I think President Bush, who passed away, this was kind of his last thing to have all the presidents there. And I thought it was great. I thought it was a touching moment. I think there's a new view of George W. Bush over the last few years. And I think it was a great day. It was a great day for the country.
Yeah, I think there's something to that for sure. And I last night watched a lot of it on C-SPAN because they repeated it. And I wasn't able to watch it during the day live here. But it was very solemn, very meaningful, and very moving. And in fact, it was, I maybe like many of our listeners, I was captivated with the C-SPAN coverage, which is raw. You know, there's no anchor, no analysis. And they were just at about 5:30 last night showing, President George Herbert Walker Bush returned to Texas and the family lining up. And it was very, I just felt like I had to watch it. I didn't really have to watch it, but it was just one of those American moments that, you know, we're all part of somewhat.
Yeah, he'll be buried today by his library, Texas A&M. So
next to Barbara.
Right. All right, so let's talk about another interesting case in the news this morning. And I asked Tom Ackerman, is this the first time that we've had actual audio from Kim Gardner on the air? It seemed unusual. I said, is that her? I didn't even know what her voice sounded like, I think. But the Missouri Supreme Court has ruled in favor of Kim Gardner, the St. Louis Circuit Attorney. They say that she can work two sides of a case at the same time. She can both investigate an officer who shoots and wounds a suspect and prosecute the defendant he shot. Gardner says the ruling reaffirms her right to investigate police shootings. The high court ruling came after a local judge had disqualified Gardner's office from doing both, saying it had the appearance of impropriety. Any thoughts on this ruling, Charlie?
Yeah, I never questioned this one. I always thought that was okay. You know, if there are two people commit a crime, prosecute both of them.
I would yield to the court. I think it's the right thing.
All right. Yeah, she hasn't had a lot of wins in the court of public opinion anyway, so yeah. Perhaps that's why she was doing interviews on this particular case. So from St. Louis City to St. Louis County, St. Louis County Prosecutor Bob McCullough has directed his trial attorneys to transfer all eligible cases away from two circuit judges, Christine Kerr and Nancy Watkins McLaughlin. This after recent high-profile sentencings by both judges that upset victims and prosecutors. Keith, do you think that the county prosecutor should be judge shopping or doing things like this?
I think he should go out with grace. I don't think so. I don't know the details really of his opinion, but I think you shouldn't lock out judges because you don't want them to hear cases unless they're doing something inappropriate, which then, you know, the bar should step into.
Yeah, what happened here, and you're right, he hasn't explained exactly why he's doing this, but we think it's because of the lenient sentences given by these judges in recent weeks or months. One was there was an attorney, I believe his name is Scott Bailey, who was drag racing, okay, and he killed a 73-year-old woman, and he got very light sentence. 90 days, something
yeah,
like that?
I think
that?
So, okay. Yeah.
And then there was a woman, I don't know, she was in her 20s or 30s, who was stealing drugs, prescription medicine, from a paraplegic after busting into the home, also getting a very light sentence. So there's that. There's a light sentence. And I also think that Bob McCullough is somewhat setting up his successor, because when he brings up these, you know, these judges, we then look at their recent rulings, how lenient they are, and now we're going to be focusing on Wesley Bell. Okay, how are you going to handle this when you have judges who are so lenient? Are you going to be strong, which frankly is what most people want? I think a lot of people are mistaken when they think that people want lighter sentences. They don't. Or are you going to, you know, you're going to go along with this?
Although, interestingly, when I first heard this yesterday, I assumed he was going to nick the judge who gave this doctor a light sentence.
Judge
Reno. Yeah, 21 women assaulted by this doctor, and he gets 90 days in jail.
Right.
So I was surprised he wasn't there. So I guess the question is, does Bob McCullough think that's okay, but a light sentence for a lawyer is not? I don't know. There's a lot of unanswered questions.
Stay tuned. Maybe that's next, because His email came out Sunday, right? When was the Reno sentence, or when did we learn about that?
It was this week, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So maybe that's to come.
The best is yet to come, maybe.
This is Overtime.
Don't you understand? We can't stop ourselves.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
All right, speaking of can't stop themselves, let's talk about an issue coming out of Jefferson City with Keith Alper, our neighbor downstairs, founder and CEO of Nitrous Effect and Creative Producers Group, and Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show. If you remember back to August, we had Proposition A on the ballot, and 67.5% of voters in a very red state voted to do away with right to work, which, of course, was an issue championed by Governor Greitens and the Republican legislature. So 67.5% of people said no to right to work, but State Senator Eric Burleson this week has filed right to work legislation in advance of the upcoming legislature's annual session. Some Republicans are voicing concern about pushing this measure that was rejected so strongly by voters. Keith, do you think that they'll still continue to vote on this, or will they listen to the will of the people?
Well, I think the Republican governor said, let's not put this on right now. The voters just voted. So if he's head of the Republican Party of Missouri and he said, let's not go for it right now, I think, you know, I think there's just too much stuff we need to do in the state before somebody puts that back on the ballot or, you know, votes on it.
Yeah, I talked to Phil Brooks, our Capitol correspondent, as well as Tim Jones, the former Speaker of the House recently, about this. And Jones thinks they're going to try and come back with what's called the Kentucky model, and that is you have right to work by county. So maybe in this area, St. Charles County would be right to work, and that might attract some businesses, and other counties would become jealous, and they would start enacting it. Before you know it, you'd have a lot of counties that are right to work. So there's that. Phil Brooks didn't think that was really too likely, so we'll see come January. But what's interesting here is right now we're talking about Republicans who would like to reverse the will of the voters when it comes to right to work. But soon, I predict, you're going to see some of our liberal friends who want to reverse the will of the voters when it comes to the gasoline tax. And it'll be interesting how that's framed, because the will of the people is no increase to the gasoline tax as of early November, right? We didn't increase our gas taxes in Missouri, but many people still think we need to fix our roads and bridges. And so there are some in Jefferson City who are going to say, you know what, let's try again for that gasoline tax. And we'll see if that's you know, framed as violating the will of the voters.
Who are the liberals in Jefferson City? There's like four Democrats.
Yeah, exactly so. But they're the ones. There are Democrats in Jefferson City.
I know, but a supermajority of Republicans, so Democrats really wouldn't have any power to do anything.
Well, you'll see Republicans doing it too, and I guarantee you, Debbie, it's going to be praised by liberals who oppose changing things like Clean Missouri and Right to Work. You get people at the Post-Dispatch and others. I'm betting that the Post-Dispatch editorial page will say, yeah, we should increase that gasoline tax, even though the voters voted no.
Although I do think in that particular case, I think most people agree that they screwed up with the language on the gas tax.
I totally agree.
That it was just their own fault for just adding all this stuff and not making it a clean bill. They have to do something, though, right, Charlie?
And then you can say, with regards to the right to work, it was on an August ballot when fewer people vote. So you can always make your qualifications as to why the voters voted the way they did. And I agree with you on the language there, but I'm just saying there will be times when there are our friends on the left who will say they want to change the will of the voters. And I think the gasoline tax is an obvious one because it's the lowest in the nation. Second lowest.
Yeah.
Alaska.
And
is
our roads need to be fixed.
And that's a fact.
That.
Right.
All right, let's talk about the XFL. So this is going to happen in 2020. It's an 8-team league, and St. Louis is going to be one of the cities getting an XFL team. I don't know what they'll be called. I think St. Louis is the only city, the only market selected that doesn't also have an NFL team, right, which makes it kind of unusual. But what do you think about how it'll be received here? Do you think people will care, Charlie, about the XFL?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. Who's the ownership group locally? Or is it owned by
Vince
McMahon?
I think it's owned by Vince McMahon.
So he owns all the teams that compete against each other.
Yeah, it's just like the WWF. He owns all the teams. You know, all the
It'll be nicer, though.
Well, I do have a small little connection to it. I went to high school with the XFL commissioner. His name is Oliver Luck. And I'll tell you something. He was a star quarterback for our team. Went on to play for West Virginia and then the Houston Oilers. Not only was he one of the best athletes in the school, but also one of the smartest. And since he played in the NFL, he was the commissioner of NFL Europe. He was the athletic director for West Virginia. He was head of the Houston Sports Commission. And then most recently worked for the NCAA in Indianapolis, where his son quarterbacks the Colts. And he's a very bright, able guy. So when I hear of Vince McMahon, I think, really? But this Oliver Luck, the commissioner of the league, is a real bright guy. And so I think the XFL has that going for it.
They could have an interesting chance in St. Louis. We're the only ones without a, NFL team. St. Louis embraces everything sports. And if you really want to get excited, we could hopefully have a soccer team and a new football team. It just adds to St. Louis being one of the greatest sports towns in America.
All right, so maybe a topic for another day. What should we name that team, or what might it be named?
The Brennans.
Hardly.
All right, this is an interesting one. A teacher at a Catholic school, a Catholic high school in Pennsylvania, lost her job last week after telling her employers that she and her boyfriend are expecting a baby. The teacher was fired Friday from Our Lady of Lourdes Regional School in Cole Township, Pennsylvania. She teaches English and reading. She tells the news item she spoke with the school's principal about her pregnancy, who immediately expressed her disapproval. Keith Alper, should she have been fired?
Oh, you're asking a Jewish guy. So,
just your opinion.
I don't think she should be fired. With everything we have going on in the world, many people aren't getting married now. I think the school should stay out of her personal business.
I do believe Mary, the mother of Jesus, was not married. Correct?
Is that
true? Is that true?
That
was the whole
Joseph?
Deal. Why they, in the Bible, that's why it was kind of difficult for Joseph, right? You know, he was like, hey, this woman is pregnant.
And it's not yours.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just saying, from Christian tradition, I'm kind of surprised because I haven't heard of this before in Catholic circles, frankly.
Well, we'll see if there's a lawsuit to follow. We need to take a break here, and when we come back, it'll be round three of OT on The Voice of St. Louis. It's 8:50.
KMOX. You ready? Let's go.
This is Overtime.
We like to play that when Michael Kelly's here. He likes to hit the post there. It is Keith Alper of Creative Producers Group, Charlie Brennan. I'm Debbie Monterey. And I have to admit, I'm one of those people who rarely carries any cash on me these days. But in New York City, there's new legislation being introduced because a lot of businesses have gone cashless, meaning that they don't take paper currency at all. So when you go into a lot of stores, apparently now in New York City, they only will take, you know, your Apple Pay or your debit card. And this legislation to reverse that is aimed at protecting the poor, because a lot of poor people or homeless people wouldn't have a debit card or an iPhone with Apple Pay. Do you think that this is a good thing or a bad thing, Charlie, this cashless trend?
Well, I can understand why people wouldn't want to have cash. In fact, sometimes you go in a cab or a bus and it says the driver does not carry more than $20 in cash for security reasons. So I can understand that. But also, in a free market, I would think that if you don't take cash, people with cash will go elsewhere. So you kind of shoot yourself in the foot in some ways. Kind of difficult for businesses, I guess, but I do carry cash and I got a credit card. I don't do the Venmo yet. Keith, I know you're all over all this new stuff.
I am for cashless. I was just in New York last week. I've been in a number of things. Says we don't have cash. You can swipe, credit, or whatever. It's a lot of burden on businesses to have cash, keep track of cash, theft, take it to the bank, all those different things. We're moving in a cashless society. It's happening all around the world, especially in Asian countries. They're getting rid of cash, and I think it's important. And you're right, they can go somewhere else. And also, there are a number of programs now for homeless and poor that they're providing cell phones for other things without charges. So there might be a better way to do that, too.
Yeah, because that doesn't help the people who are unbanked. And those people do exist. There's a percentage of our population that doesn't bank at all. So what do they do?
Again, there are organizations that are putting phones in hands and cash and those type of things.
Yeah,
and
but
stuff like
of course, the homeless collect cash. So what are they supposed to do with it?
Don't know that answer, Charlie.
I mean, you're standing on the street corner all day. You pick up $40. You got to go somewhere. I don't think we're going to get to a time when you won't be able to get rid of your cash. In fact, if that does happen, give me a call. I'll work something out, folks.
I guess maybe what you could do is, if you collect enough cash, then you go to like Walgreens and get a Visa card.
Yeah.
I guess you could.
You could
do that. Yeah.
That'd be for Mayor of New York.
No, thanks. Let's go from New York to D.C. The National Park Service is looking into how protests are handled in the D.C. area. The proposal is floating more than a dozen changes to how the Park Service facilitates protests, including how many demonstrators can gather on national parkland without a permit, what areas protesters can demonstrate in, and whether protesters should be required to reimburse the agency for the support and security it provides. Civil rights advocates have issued urgent calls to oppose these measures, saying they would violate First Amendment rights. Do you think these protests should be hindered? And Keith, do you think it's because there have been way more protests in the last 2 years than there have been in maybe the last 20?
These are our land. This is our property. As somebody who's probably produced more events under the arch than anybody else, it's very expensive to do anything at the Park Service. You have to bring extra security. I mean, it's really, really, really expensive. That's why, even though we built the arch, it's going to be hard to do a lot of events under there. So I believe that these are our lands. We should be able to protest or have a show or do whatever without having to pay extraordinary fees for that.
It's a huge issue on both sides. You got the left, of course, which sometimes has protests and they want crowds, and that's their constitutional right, especially on public property. And then you have people like Ben Shapiro, who was supposed to speak at Gonzaga, but they said only if the sponsoring organization comes up with $5,000 for security, which people are now alleging is an infringement on the First Amendment rights and all that. So there is a cost to it, to demonstrating and speaking, I suppose, because the police have to watch it. But that is the federally protected right of an American to stand in a park on a soapbox and share opinions, and it can't be abridged.
And so you can't price them out of that. Price anybody out of that.
Yeah, I mean, so if I want to go to the Arch grounds and collect 2,000 people, I can do that. I mean, and if not, it's ACLU time, baby. I mean, that's only fair.
All right, we need to take a break here. And when we return, we've got news at the top. And then Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show holds forth. Thanks to Keith Alper for stopping by today.
Great, thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.